Welcome to another episode of Crossing Soccer Borders, a podcast focused on the growth of CONCACAF soccer and part of the DynamoTheory.com podcast network. I am Rudy.
And I'm Rodrigo.
And today we have a lot of CONCACAF soccer to talk about. The Gold Cup is approaching as we know it. But before we jump into soccer, Rodrigo, how's your day so far, man?
Hey, guys. I've been having a pretty good day. I would say, you know, kind of a fun day of watching some last Euro matches to complete the round of 16 now. You know, pretty eventful the last 2 days, really, going into the extra time today as well with the Ukraine-Sweden. But overall, it's been a pretty good day of soccer, pretty good day in, I guess, Dallas, Texas. Yeah, what about you?
Man, not too bad. Excited. I just got back from basically getting everything ready for the house. We cleaned it out this weekend. Really, we cleaned it out Sunday, and my back was aching, man. It was just like so many boxes and putting it in storage and everything. But everything got done. God willing, we're closing tomorrow, being Wednesday, early-ish. And so that phase ends. Our first home is sold, and we're looking into the next part of our future when it comes to that. But, dude, I'm with you. I got to – I took kind of like a little late lunch, you would say, and I ended up watching pretty much most of the England match today. Well, they ended up beating Germany. Super fun match. It was very exciting. I really thought Germany was going to end up taking it. They just had – I mean, Timo Werner kept showing what he was showing in Chelsea all season. He had maybe one clear shot that he could have done a little more. And then obviously already 1-0 down, Mueller in front of goal. He was about to celebrate it, and it was just a tad off. But man, super exciting games. Like you said, a lot of the matches for the Euro, which is really the only tournament I've watched. I've watched maybe like 45 minutes of, I think it was Chile playing somebody recently. But I haven't watched a lot of Copa America matches. But the Euro, definitely I've been trying to track some of the main games. They're so exciting. Obviously, it's like that's probably the closest you're going to get to a World Cup just because the teams are pretty even, right? You would say?
I think for the most part, yeah, they're pretty even. Yeah, man, watching that England-Germany game. Yeah, Timo had a one that I think he should have chipped. Possibly would have gotten a better outcome there. And then, yeah, the Mueller one, man, by himself. And I think Sterling ended up giving the ball away for like a clean breakaway, and I was like, man, they're tying it here, and nope, he just missed it.
Especially wide. Because you know Mueller is not like the fastest guy, and he was like had everybody beat by like at least 10 yards, and
he's probably the most precise though.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's one of the most precise, super cold-blooded, one of like the most cold-blooded players I've ever seen. Super relaxed, so just crazy. I mean, he wasn't off by a lot. It really looked like it was going in and out of nowhere, just beard left. And man, that was crazy, because then not shortly after that, England put that 2-0 and just put the nail in the coffin, and they're going through. But Rodrigo, I guess before we start talking about CONCACAF soccer and the Gold Cup, out of this, you know, teams that are left, man, who would be your favorite right now? I mean, there's some good matches coming up too, so it's really tough to call. I think nobody really has like an easy pad, but who you think has a better chance out of the teams left?
Oh man, it's tough. My favorite, I guess, since the group started, had been Switzerland, just because I like how they've been playing. Shaqiri, I like how he plays, style of play, pretty dynamic player, and can play amazing through balls, and he has that shot as well. But for everybody, you know, Italy still the favorite. Spain scoring what, 10 goals in the last two matches. They start off really slow and really weak. They still seem like a weak team when it came to, you know, their playing style, just keeping a lot of possession. But I'm gonna go with the underdog and just say Switzerland for the win.
Man, that's the dude, if you haven't put some money on that, because if they do, that's a pretty good odds I'm so sure of. But for me, I think I'm gonna stick with the Ericsson deal and go with Denmark, just because I feel like the teams are, you know, they're playing for him. I mean, 4 goals against Wales, that's pretty ridiculous, you know. So it seems like they're not, and to say, I mean, they're going against Czech Republic, who obviously knocked out Portugal, and then they could potentially face England. But I mean, Ukraine is no easy cakewalk. In a way, it feels a little bit easier of a pattern, or more even, I would say. On the other side, you obviously have Belgium playing Italy. So that right there, I think, knocks out one of probably clear favorite. And then if Switzerland can get past Spain, then that definitely will bump them to whoever they face in the semifinal. So yeah, Switzerland for you, that's a good call. Like I said, I'll probably stick with Denmark. A little bit of dark horses, probably. Definitely not favorites right now. But
yeah, and I mean, Czech Republic has been playing really well, so that's going to be a good match.
Yeah, their striker has been on fire, man. Very good player. But all right, we'll see who takes it to London. I guess the final would be in Wembley, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think they haven't changed it. I think it's going to be
separate. Right, it should stay the same. So Wembley Stadium should see the final, and let me see, it's July 11th. I will definitely like record another episode before the final. So we'll probably, actually before even the semifinal, most likely. So we'll get to talk a little bit more of who's remaining. But let's go ahead and jump to our favorite region, which being the CONCACAF region. Good things are to come for sure. We have Gold Cup starting in July 10th, I believe. Kicking off with El Salvador, Curaçao, and Mexico. Obviously waiting somebody. So we'll start with Group A and kind of talk about the team or the nations. We know for sure there's three in this group. There's one more spot that needs to be played. And those are which, Rodrigo? Do you have the picture I sent you of the four teams trying to win that spot?
Well, I know it's going to be Trinidad and Tobago, Montserrat, Cuba, and French Guiana. So Trinidad and Tobago is going to play against Montserrat. And then Cuba's playing French Guiana. And then the winner of those matches are going to face each other for that spot and the last spot in Group A.
Who do you think would be your favorite out of those four teams to make that final spot?
I would have to go with Trinidad and Tobago. They've been a strong force in the past. But you never know. I mean, I don't know what teams they're bringing from Montserrat and, you know, Cuba, French Guiana. I don't know how they're doing. I know, especially with all this COVID stuff has really affected a lot of the countries. So I mean, I don't even know if Trinidad and Tobago, you know, how well they're doing. So just based on past performance, I would go with Trinidad and Tobago. It's going to make this group.
Yeah, for sure. I would probably would be with you. Trinidad and Tobago tends to be a good team, but obviously they did struggle. They got knocked out of like containment to make it maybe into the World Cup or push. So falling short, but they ended up like, I think, winning their last match, if I'm not mistaken. So maybe they pick it up after that disappointing loss. So their players get some, I guess people can see them and maybe pick up like different teams and why not. But let's go and start with all the other three teams there, right? So in Group A, you have Mexico. We would probably say clear favorites to win the group. Radu, you want to talk a little bit of Mexico? I know they think their lineup is not finalized yet, but what players do you think you expect to see there?
I think it's all going to depend on how close they're going to be sticking to the Olympic team first, because I honestly think that's going to be the main priority for them, to try to get the best older players for the competition. So it's going to be about 2 weeks, I think, right after the Gold Cup starts. But, you know, overall, I think we're going to get most of the players from Mexico that have been playing in Europe. And then a couple players, I believe, Ochoa might be going to the Gold Cup. So I wonder how they're going to do that, if they keep them in for, you know, the group stage and maybe face them out at the end, or if they're just going to completely send them to the Gold Cup. I mean, the Olympic team first. But yeah, like you mentioned, they've had a lot of players. I think they still have a long list to go through, which is, you know, we're going to see them play against Panama. And then I believe they have another friendly before the Gold Cup starts.
Against Nigeria.
I believe so.
But you know what's crazy is looking at this list, because I know that at one point he was here. But one that is going to be in question for sure for Tata is Javier Hernandez. I mean, if he's not on this list after scoring, what, 10 goals in 10 games, It's ridiculous. Like, he, the guy has scored 10 goals with like 14 shots on target. It's just crazy stats. And we know that obviously you have Raul Jimenez injured, and they even brought the, you know, obviously kind of questionable, or kind of some people don't like it that Funes Mori was brought into the team, when you clearly have like a Chicharito that is, you know, your top scorer overall for Mexico. Right now, it seems he's in good form. You're not calling him? It's kind of intriguing.
Yeah, and we don't, and Mexico doesn't really have a true number nine right now. And I know a lot of people think right away, oh, Chicharito, you know, he's old, he's washed, whatever. He's having a great season, so you can discount that. And if you look at all our potential number nines, they're all 30 or older. So, you know, this thing about being old, I mean, they're already, we don't have a young striker that has basically set a name for themselves and is going to be the clear starter. So that's going to be interesting to, you know, see on that end.
Yeah, and I think just to finish off a little bit, Mexico, something that it's kind of like, you know, if we're talking about Chicharito missing, being a good striker, I think in the opposite end, Ochoa is most likely not going to be in the Gold Cup because he will probably be heading to Tokyo. So I don't know exactly how that works. I don't know if, like, because Tokyo, I believe, starts in July 22nd, the matches. So, you know, technically, they'd be almost done. Not really, but at least the first three matches would be done. So, I don't know. It's just kind of like a food for thought. But let me keep going, and if you want to add anything else for Mexico, we can in a little bit. But the second team up there, probably another – well, actually, the second team up there is El Salvador. Another good team. The Salvadorians have actually played in 12 Gold Cups, or appeared in 12 Gold Cups total. That includes CONCACAF Championship, which it was before it was the Gold Cup. And they've gone as far as runner-ups, which is kind of crazy. But that was, let me back up. For the Gold Cup, if we're just specifically going for the Gold Cup, they've actually been as far as quarterfinals, five quarterfinals. Before that, when tournament got changed name, then there were runner-ups. But that's a team. It's intriguing to watch El Salvador. Obviously, they have players that we know of. Houston Dynamo, Darwin Serén. He was very good in the last matches that he was a part with the team. But, you know, there's players like Eric Zabaleta, who the Toronto FC guy that they recently picked up. He already has four caps. Even score a goal. And then you have players like Alex Roldan, which, you know, his brother plays with the U.S. national team, and Alex doesn't have any caps, but the guy is, he's a very good player. So I don't know, it's just something that is intriguing, you know. Obviously, kind of how when we talked to Arturo Alvarez, there's not that many players that are born in the U.S. and decide to play for El Salvador. I think it just brings definitely more value to a Salvadorian team and makes it intriguing, man. Rodrigo, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, this Salvadorian team actually is pretty young. They do have, like you mentioned, Darwin Serén and, you know, a little bit older pieces to their team. But for the most part, if you look at their lineup, or at least the most recent call-up, you're looking at, you know, ages between 21 and 26, which makes them pretty young. So obviously they've been growing and developing more players, which is good. Good for them, good for the CONCACAF. And kind of like we saw in the qualifying stages for the World Cup, they had a pretty good tournament as well. So this is going to be exciting to watch. I think for me, that would be the second one to qualify into the group. But, you know, we're still waiting on that last spot. And then Curaçao has a pretty good team. So we'll see how everybody does.
Yeah, and I guess we'll jump straight to Curaçao at this rate. Curaçao has only appeared in three Gold Cups. And they've actually reached the quarterfinals on the last one in 2019. They're six Gold Cups. So, no, this six total, but three Gold Cups. Like, the it was before it was named something else, then the other three were in that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because it shows CONCACAF Championship, which is four there, and then Gold Cup. This will be their third one, basically. Yeah, so Curaçao has been, this would be their third Gold Cup appearance, and had four other ones playing in CONCACAF Championship. They're a very intriguing team. A lot of their players playing the Netherlands, as well as some of them in MLS. Their goalkeeper is very solid, plays for the current champions, Columbus Crew. That is Eloy Room. Very good player, and I think this is a team that can always fight for a spot. I think they, sadly, they were obviously eliminated again in the World Cup qualifying. And so, yeah, it's going to be a lot to prove. But, man, Radu, you want to add anything on Curaçao?
This is probably going to be one of those teams to watch about on this group. Like I said, we still don't know the last spot, but I think it's going to be a really intriguing team to watch. They have been one of the strongest teams in the Caribbean, winning the Caribbean Cup in 2017. So I would suggest that it might be a little bit of a danger team to play, as you know, trying to get some points.
Yeah, definitely. I'm with you. I mean, clearly Mexico has to be the favorite. Could they get 9 points? Of course they could. But Curaçao and Salvador and whoever does make that final cut, being Trinidad and Tobago or whoever does, I think Curaçao is going to give everybody like a run for their money for that second spot. So it's good to see. And obviously, I think hopefully we'll try to record either Tuesday night or Wednesday, and by then we'll probably know who actually is part of the groups of the spots they're missing. But with that being said, again, I think favorites for sure is Mexico. I think my dark horse, like at least to win the group per se, it would probably be Curaçao. But yeah, I think because I could see them maybe getting like past Mexico, and I mean, they could, you know, you never know, they have a good team. But yeah, I think that's how that group is looking, which again, it's a fun match. The best part about this Group A is that it's played in Dallas area, I would call it. And so you, like you said, you may try to make it to a game or two or whatever. So they'll be getting played in Toyota Stadium, which is FC Dallas Stadium, and the AT&T Stadium, which is a Cowboys Stadium, and as well as the Cotton Bowl, which is just a venue that is necessarily is used for big events. I don't think anybody really, no one has that anymore, I think. Mostly for football matches and big events. But yeah, what do you think, Rodrigo? What I say sound about right?
I think so. I think, I think Mexico should, I mean, I wouldn't say they should, but they're expected to win the group. And then after that, it could be, I want to say El Salvador should be the second spot on there, but it's still going to be, overall, it's going to be a tough matches, especially because this is teams that they don't regularly play as Curaçao or even the other four potential to join the group. But yeah, it'll be interesting to watch.
Cool. Well, we'll definitely maybe talk a little bit more on Group A once we find out who's that fourth spot belongs to. But we'll jump to Group D. So next episode, we'll talk about B and C and break those down. But right now, we'll continue with Group D, which has this is the only group that has all their four teams ready, set, and go type of stuff. We have Honduras in this group. We have Panama. We have Granada. And we have Qatar. Very interesting group. I think that probably all the teams are pretty equal to an extent. Maybe Granada could be the weakest. However, I do feel that Honduras is probably the favorite to win it. They just have a very talented team, very diverse team. They have a lot of European or players playing in Europe. You know, already know, man, I'm going to mention my boy Avertelis. I mean, the guy just is such a good player. He just seems like he's getting better playing in Boavista in Portugal. There's talks that he will probably jump to a bigger team by the, you know, the time the transfer window opens. So good stuff for him. Very good player. Can score, can play on the wing with speed. So, you know, whenever you have him and Romel Kioto, and of course you have a lot of good midfielders like Brian Acosta. We've talked about how this guy is such a solid player for FC Dallas. I will say, though, that I think the weak point, which used to be the strength of Honduras, is probably their defense. Their defense is just looking a little, you know, clustered. There's a lot of mistakes happening. You have a, you know, a legendary player like Minor Figueroa, who's 38 years old. And not that he looks like he can't play anymore, but you definitely know he's not in his prime. But yeah, dude, what are you thinking about Honduras, I guess, for now?
Yeah, as you mentioned, their weakest is their defense. I see that Danilo Acosta from LA Galaxy is a recent call-up, younger player. So it's going to be his, I'm assuming he's making his debut soon. And then they called up a lot of young defenders too. So I think that's one thing that they're going to be working on in this Gold Cup and, you know, getting ready for that qualifiers after the Gold Cup. And man, at least it's just kind of sad to see that it's good to see that he's growing. Sad that he left Dynamo, only 25 years old, so he has a lot of growth and potential for him. You know, I think it's great that he might be going to another team. I think he deserves that. But this Honduras team has a good core in their midfield, a lot of experienced players, and then this young forwards are going to be their biggest strength.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely see them probably playing a lot of counterattack, which is probably what's going to happen for them as their defense may end up lacking. But moving on to another Panama playing in that group. Panama obviously still in the hunt as well, in the final phase of the World Cup qualified. So we know Panama has a good team, right? They made their, in 2018, they made their first World Cup. So they're going to continue to keep pushing. The only thing that I see with Panama, in my opinion, is the fact that the team, you know, their, I guess, golden generation is getting really old, you know? And I feel like there hasn't been a player yet to step in and kind of, I mean, they don't, obviously they do have young players in the line or in their team, but they're just not one player that is like stands out as the next big thing for them. And that seems to be happening in their, as their forwards. Obviously we have like Gabriel Torres, who, if I'm not mistaken, played with the Colorado Rapids as a DP a couple years back. And, you know, he was on fire. I mean, I remember he scored against Mexico. I mean, he just made players look silly 2-3 years back, but then now he's 32 years old and he looks like he's losing his step a little bit. And currently he's actually playing with Pumas, which I did not even know that, but there you go, kind of a little fun fact, I guess. But yeah, obviously I think Panama, their defense tends to always be solid and gets them out of situations. I know for sure there's some players that are going to be probably not at their best again. That being players like Adolfo Machado, who's 36 years old now. I want to say, well, Aníbal Godoy is a pretty good midfielder. But I guess before I keep rambling, Rodrigo, you want to add anything on Panama?
No, you're right. You know, their team has a lot of experienced players that they're starting to fade out. And, you know, as players get older, they're not the same anymore. They're lacking, you know, speed and other good qualities. So it's gonna be a team that's gonna be interesting to watch, because they're gonna have to start, you know, rebuilding and calling up younger players. But yeah, they still have a pretty well-rounded team with their older guys. So this might be the last, you know, Gold Cup they all play before they're heading to, you know, retirement or just retiring out of the National
League. Yeah, the guy I was thinking of was Roman Torres. I mean, that guy is a beast defender. He's 35 years old and he wasn't called up to be a part of the Gold Cup. But we know that, you know, Baloid was another great defender they had. So they've always had good defenders. Their strength is definitely defense when it comes to Panama.
They've always lasted a long time, thinking, you know, like they've always, you know, lasted to a couple, you know, mid-30s almost. So yeah, I think that's the most recent oldest players are that rings to, you know, be phasing out.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, like I mentioned, I think their golden generation, like the one that did the push to make them into, you know, make their first World Cup, are obviously getting older. they're not getting much playing time, and I feel like there hasn't been there's a little bit of a gap, right, between like their experienced players and players that are picking up the pieces, you know, for that generation, making it a little bit difficult for them. But still probably considerably a favorite, right, to be in the earnest spot to make it to the knockout stage. But with that, we'll jump to Granada real quick. And Granada, I love their nickname, man. They're the Spice Boys. I love that nickname. Granada, this would be also their third Gold Cup appearance when this tournament changed name. And the last time they played was in 2011. So it's been 10 years since they've been a part of it. And they've only gone as far as a group stage. So not necessarily like, you know, a super nation. Obviously, we're facing a young team. Most of their players playing Granada, which obviously most likely doesn't get as much love and respect as it should maybe in their country. Wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the players, you know, are obviously part-time soccer players as well. Like some of the smaller nations in the Caribbean tend to have, right? But Rodrigo, you want to add anything on them?
Yeah, I mean, Granada in the past have obviously struggled, but looking at their current squad and where most of their players are playing now, it's actually not a bad thing to have. I see most of them been playing in English second division. Well, technically third, I guess what you would call it, second and third. So that's actually pretty good. You know, anytime you can get, you know, overseas and kind of get more experience in that, I think that helps anybody, especially I'm looking at the ages and I'm seeing like, you know, players that are like 19, 20, 21, you know, playing in those kind of clubs definitely is going to help anybody out. So it could, you know, and being that young with the game, how it's played now with speed, you know, trying to open up space by, doing some dribbling. And if you're facing, like we just mentioned, this Panama or Honduras with older guys in the defense, you know, that's going to create some trouble. It'll be interesting to watch. So we'll see what they can do.
Yeah, I was going to say definitely like a team, you know, young team, not obviously very low expectations. So they're definitely playing with like nothing to lose, right? They're just going to go out there, showcase their talent. You know, they've been playing obviously in the U.S. So like a lot of those players maybe find a new home, either the U.S. or elsewhere. So of course they have nothing to lose. They just go out there, play with heart. Definitely a nation that will play with heart. And hope not to concede a ton of goals. So that way they can maybe earn a few points and have a chance, right? Hey, if you're in the group, man, doesn't matter, group D, you know, whoever you are, you have a chance to get past it. So you just gotta get lucky sometimes as well. And that leads us to our final team in this group, being Qatar. Obviously, Qatar, if you know who you are, unless you're one of our friends from childhood that doesn't know his nations and geography and thinks Italy is a part of the of Asia, then you may not know where Qatar is. But Qatar is definitely not a part of the CONCACAF region, and they'll be they were invited to be a part of this tournament. But you know, Qatar, they've been playing pretty good. I mean, in the sense of, was it last Copa America they were a part of, and they were very very good. They were actually very like surprising how good they played. Obviously didn't make it past the group stage, but they played very good. They have like a Brazilian style, you know, or at least a Brazilian wannabe style of the way they played. Not very obviously, we know the World Cup and next year is going to be in Qatar. So they're trying to expose their players as much as they can, since pretty much all of them play in Qatar. So, Rodrigo, you want to add anything on Qatar?
So, since Qatar is hosting the next World Cup, they're going to be getting the most friendlies they can get against anybody. We actually already saw Qatar play Costa Rica in 2020, and they actually drew 1-1. So, that's actually interesting, you know, against the CONCACAF region team. And they've actually done pretty well in their last couple matches that they had. They haven't lost the game in about five matches or so. And they're expected, you know, to be the host nation to do well in the World Cup. So obviously this is going to be a great setting for them to set that expectation. And I see this team as they have to go to the next round. They cannot get eliminated in the group stage. That being said, nobody from CONCACAF wants to lose against the guest, the outsider. So it's going to be, you know, some interesting games to watch on that end.
You know, and I think one of the biggest reasons why probably I haven't gotten into Copa America, and I mean, you guys, I've mentioned I'm a big Barcelona fan. Maybe I don't follow them as closely, but I'm a big Lionel Messi fan. You know, if you tell me Messi or Ronaldo, I'll take Messi. But I haven't watched any of their matches this tournament, and probably not even last tournament. But it was because, you know, having those invites, you know, having Mexico be a part of it was kind of cool. You know, it kind of drew you to watch them. And I think we got two good CONCACAF teams. We're actually giving them, like you said, you don't want to lose against teams like that. You don't want to, you know, whoever you are, you don't want to be beat by a Mexico or a U.S. or, you know, someone in CONCACAF. And then they start kind of messing the, or, you know, having rules like, oh, your players have to be under a certain age for you to compete. I mean, that just kind of made me think, man, you guys are scared of Mexico, you know, when you guys have like so many players in Europe and, you know, supposed to be the best in the world, whether you're Brazil or whatever. But yeah.
Yeah, no, that brings a great point. I'm talking about Copa America and this and those South Americans. I'm probably going to get a lot of hate if I say this. I'm just going to say it one time.
We're talking to you, Christian. We're talking to you, Christian.
I've always heard this thing come up. If Mexico was in CONMEBOL, they would not make a single World Cup. You know, they're always talking, oh, there's 6-7 teams better than Mexico in South America, and they will not make the World Cup. All right, so here's the thing. Since 1993, Mexico was invited to Copa America. In those, they've actually been a runner-up two times. They've actually won third place three times in those years. So that just kind of sets it to where, like, they had to implement this rule of you can only, you know, send a B team because they had to play the Gold Cup, or you had to send younger players. And that's when, you know, teams are like, oh, well, Mexico's not that good. Yeah, they're not that good when they're sending their 22-year-old to play against Messi, you know, or like this stacked Brazilian team. But to make an impact, and basically you're getting second place, you know, in the Copa America, like that's a big thing. So, yes, Mexico, in my opinion, they can definitely hang in CONMEBOL if they wanted to. Honestly, that would probably be an easier ticket for them because there's four spots and then five as a play-in. So I think they could definitely be third or fourth and, you know, and have really not that big of an issue. But anyways, South Americans, I had to say what I had to say. Don't disrespect Mexico. They can hold their own.
Hey, and you know, we'll take a whoop ass every now and then, right? Like, I mean, Chile like led 7-0 on us. But come on, tell me Brazil didn't take a few at home in the World Cup against Germany. Like, I mean, some games are just, you know, different. Of course, you're not going to win every game. And there is going to be times that you're going to get plenty of goals in your favor. But I'm with you, dude. Like, I think the biggest draw, and I'm pretty sure, you know, Copa America is probably not making as much money as it once did having, you know, the teams play in the U.S. or teams like Mexico and the U.S. in there, because they are, you know, people are going to watch those games. I mean, who doesn't love watching those games? And yeah, when, you know, they changed the rules of, like, I think it was 2011 that they made like a thing like, oh, this team, yeah, you can join, but your team has to be under 22 years old. Like, and I think we got trashed, if I'm not mistaken. I think we're literally last place. And then after that, we were 11th place. And then before it, like, you know, like, it just, they keep making it harder for us, for Mexico. Or, well, I'm not going to just say Mexico, because the U.S. has been pretty good, too. They've shown themselves capable of, like, hanging out or hanging with the big dogs of South America. But with that, this is a great topic of conversation. I'm sure maybe we can do an episode in the future of, like, you know, like you said, I mean, how easy is CONCACAF compared to obviously the CONCACAF against CONMEBOL, Confederation, and we all know CONMEBOL South American soccer is probably one of the best soccers there is. And they do have less nations, obviously, compared to CONCACAF. And so and there's like huge, what is the word that I'm trying to look for? There's like a huge separation between who are the good players in CONCACAF and who's the bad players. I mean, nations, right? So like there's obviously, yeah, Mexico, the U.S., Costa Rica, Panama, like teams that tend to be always a part of, you know, bigger things. And then there's like little tiny nations of maybe like a couple hundred thousand people in them. They get beat, you know, 20-0. So it's just, you know, people think because of, you know, smaller nations that CONCACAF region is not that good. But I mean, do you remember when like Mexico beat Brazil in 1999? You know, confederations, I mean, come on, we're there. And wait, before I finish, dude, I remember I don't know how old I was, but in 2006, I will never forget Maxi Rodriguez's goal against Osvaldo Sanchez. It still hurts, man. You know, there's things like that happen. I mean, sometimes you need a little luck, skill, whatever you call it. But that's what soccer is about, and that's what makes it fun. And, you know, we're continuing to rep CONCACAF any day, man. Whoever you bring me. You bring a European team, I'm going to always rep CONCACAF. Doesn't matter who's playing. If it's my beloved Mexico, if it's the U.S., if it's Honduras, whoever you playing, I'm going to definitely pick the team of my region to beat anybody toe-to-toe. Rodrigo?
Yeah, I mean, I guess since we're on this topic, you don't have to go that extreme, but, you know, just Mexico in the Olympics, as we're going to be competing in the Olympics again, they beat Brazil in 2012. And Brazil, you look at their squad, they have Neymar, they had a stacked team. But yeah, I think they can play with anybody, and that's the reason that they've had the most growth in CONCACAF in recent years, you know, now with the U.S. And I guess this brings me to the next topic. You know, we can stop this little rant, I would say. But all right. So I don't know if you keep up with the recent news. Obviously, Premier League, CONCACAF, Europe. But the biggest thing right now, it's going to be Mason Greenwood, young Manchester United player, 19 years old. Jamaica is trying to call him up for the national. Would you like to see a player like that come to, you know, Jamaica? I mean, if you look at him, he's 19. He still has great potential. Been called up to the national team in England. Ended up playing one game, and I think he had to sit out the remaining, or had to leave because of COVID, and had to quarantine. So he didn't get another call up. Didn't make the Euro because he had an injury. Now Jamaica, you know, being that his parents are from Jamaica, he was born in England, he has dual citizenship, qualifies to play for Jamaica. You know, we talked to Arturo Alvarez, and we've seen other players that they were born in a country and they could go play for another country that might be, you know, because of their parents. Would you want to see him there? I mean, you have Leon Bailey, you have good players, and they're forward, they're just missing, you know, I guess.
Yes.
Number nine striker, like
110%. Yes, I mean, just talking about England again, you have Raheem Sterling, man, born in Jamaica. You know, imagine him playing in Jamaica, right? Like, you have players that have that opportunity to probably play. I mean, heck, talking again, England, you have Jadon Sancho, who's riding the bench for England. And he could easily play for Trinidad and Tobago. I mean, there's some players that, you know, have the opportunity to play for CONCACAF, you know, represent at this young age. They're obviously very talented. So why not? Whenever, you know, obviously they're good enough to make the team, right? To be able to make the Euro squad. But if you're just sitting on the bench as a young player, that obviously you're playing very well. I mean, it would have been great for Jamaica to have players like that, or Trinidad and Tobago. I mean, imagine Jadon Sancho, you know, maybe Trinidad and Tobago would still have a chance of making this World Cup. Like, you never know. And I think it's sad because there's players that may not see that right away. Obviously, the players I mentioned, Raheem Sterling is doing a great job, right, with England, scored today. But later in their career, there's some players that are very good, never got called up by, you know, the England or whatever team they're a part of, when they could easily had picked, you know, their parents' nation that could have given them a better chance. And, you know, just because, you know, you play for England, of course, most of the time you're going to make the World Cup, but you can always have another different fighting chance, you know. I mean, I'm sure if I would ask Sip if, you know, he would have gotten the opportunity to play with any of the U.S. under whatever, you know, U-17, U-20, whatever. I mean, him being born in Cameroon, he probably would have taken that chance, right? So there's like a little bit of the kind of mismatch, I guess. I don't think that's the right word that I'm trying to use, but it's more like there's always different variables and situations. But dude, if I'm Mason Greenwood or if I'm Jamaica, I'm doing everything I can. I'd be like, yeah, man, we got like all kinds of drugs that you can have here, bro. Like, I don't know. You do whatever the heck you do to get a 19-year-old to be a part of your team and get the reggae boys.
Yeah, I mean, opportunity. If I'm Jamaica, I'm calling up Leon Bailey. I'm calling up your stars and be like, hey, this is what you should play here.
I'm bringing Usain Bolt and everybody, dude.
Yeah,
yeah, you know, you bring like your star, the people. I mean, who doesn't know Usain Bolt? You're like, hey, man, Mason, we got Usain Bolt here with you. Hey, we brought Bob Marley's like grandkid. Like, it doesn't matter who it is. You do whatever you can to get a player like Mason Greenwood to play for you.
Yeah, I mean, you would do anything, and you have to basically the player has to remember that nothing is being taken away, you know, like you're still going to be in Manchester United, but you can be the Manchester United star from Jamaica. Like, you know, losing my train of thought here, but Manchester United,
we're thinking of the Trinidad
player, the play from Trinidad Tobago.
Yeah, Dwight York.
Was it?
Yeah, Dwight York.
Yeah, like him. You know, you can, he's such a great player, legend, Trinidad Tobago. You know, would, if he had the chance, would he played in England? Of course. But, you know, at that older age, you're already set to play in your country. You can't regress. Him being 19 years old, Mason Greenwood, I think this is an opportunity for him and to grow more of the Jamaican soccer, be part of the CONCACAF region. You know, if we can speak to Alphonso Davies, I'm sure he would say this would be a great opportunity for him, you know, to have Mason Greenwood join Jamaica. I think I would like to see it happen. I don't know his time frame on when the decision has to be made. I know they're really pushing for it, so hopefully we have some news in the next week or so. Hopefully some good news for us in the CONCACAF region. We'll see.
Yeah, it would definitely be like such a great thing to see, you know, player of his caliber. Like I said, young, obviously, you know, he's not a made man yet. But I mean, the guy has showed his skill with Manchester United. And, you know, I mean, you can be a great player. Like, if you want to talk a little bit of Manchester United again, like Ryan Giggs, man. Ryan Giggs, amazing player. Obviously played for Wales and never made a World Cup, right? Like, or you have like Gary Bell and to this day, still no World Cup. Obviously got kicked out of the Euros. But, you know, it doesn't matter who you play. Like, the thing, if you believe in, you know, if his parents have that love for Jamaica, then why not do it? Like you said, you're gonna go from maybe like a third, fourth string striker in England, you know, I mean, it's going to be hard to be like a Harry Kane, but you can be the number one. Like you said, it's like, oh, this is the Jamaican star. He plays in Manchester United. I mean, that's life changing, I believe, you know, like, doesn't matter where you go. People are definitely going to see you like as a star, just like Dwight York tip. But if you want to add anything else, if not, I'm definitely ready to close the show for tonight.
Yeah, we covered a lot today on those two groups and, you know, that pending question, Mason Greenwood. If you're listening to us, join Jamaica. I think that's the right choice. You know, everybody in CONCACAF will welcome you. That's my final thought.
Yeah, it'd be amazing to see it. I mean, if it happens, I'm assuming they're trying to push everything so he probably can play in the Gold Cup, but it may be difficult to get him to play. But it'd be, he still has the World Cup qualifiers to be a part of. So, I mean, there's still plenty to play for him. But with that being said, make sure you follow us on our social medias at Crossing Soccer Borders. And again, reach out to us with any questions, concerns. It's kind of cool. I've actually gotten to talk to plenty of our fans, and just kind of keep tweeting. My pastor used to say El Tweeter, and I just thought it was funny. But just using Twitter and whatnot, and reach out to us. We'd love talking soccer for sure. So if you have any topics you want us to talk about or hit a specific nation, like we hope we kind of did that today, breaking down who's going to be a part of the Group A and Group D of the Gold Cup starting up in a week or two from now. But no matter what, keep crossing soccer borders, guys.